Dear, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord, we have assembled together this evening, and we give thee thanks. We give thee thanks that thou hast brought us together, that thy word is before us. And it is with great anticipation, O Lord, that we open thy word and pray for an outpouring of thy spirit, that thou, Lord Jesus, would direct our hearts into a place where we can hear thee speak to us. And Father, we pray that we would have ears to hear and to open our hearts to receive the word. So bless our gathering together this evening. Bless us one and all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this evening's reading and meditation, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. I desire to begin with verse 24. Любезні жили, соборжуємо помочь до саднаджа із Євангелія по Матею, 13. глава, початок від 24. брой. We'll read to verse 30 and then we'll skip to 36. So, Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. This is the extent of our reading. May God bless his reading upon our hearts and his word upon our hearts, and let us kneel before our Lord.
Our Father in heaven, as we come before thee this evening, we bow before thee on bended knees in reverence to thee and thy almighty hand, and in honor of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that we as mere men find it deep within our hearts and souls to gather and to worship thee. And so we have found ourselves gathered this evening hour around thy holy and precious word. We're thankful that we can read, meditate upon it, and that we can understand what thy will is for our lives. We pray that you would inspire our brothers to bring the message that thou would have for us, and that we might, through the lips of clay, hear the declaration of thy true word that would penetrate the hearts of those that would hear tonight, especially of our friends that don't know thee, Heavenly Father, that they might realize that they could be some of these tares growing up together. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll awaken those that are in need of a soul salvation. Draw them yet while the day of grace is still at hand. We're mindful, Heavenly Father, of many tonight that perhaps are unable to come for various reasons, and even those that have chose not to come, we pray for them as well, Father, that you would visit each one, that they might realize that they have missed an opportunity, and that they would humble themselves before thee, and they might worship thee in their place of abode, wherever that may be. Father, we pray for our children that gather with us, that they too would hear the word and it be deeply embedded in their hearts, that they might know the way of salvation when the day of accountability comes. So, Heavenly Father, there are as much that we could ask of thee. We pray for many. There are many things that we could call upon thee. You know our wants and our needs. And especially, we're mindful also of our government, Father, that we're thankful that we have the freedom yet to this day that we can freely gather. And yet, we pray we don't know what the future does hold. But we pray, Father, that and believe that you are still in control and that your will be done. So help us in that faith, help us in that trust, that we would continue to believe in thee, trust in thee, and wait upon thee. So, Father, we thank thee that we live in a country that has freedoms like this. And so we pray and thank you from the depths of our hearts. But Lord, we most of all want to thank you for the way of salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that came and made all this possible that we might have our soul salvation when he died on that cross and shed his precious blood. But while he was on the face of this earth, he taught his disciples many things of which we have read of even tonight. So we pray, Father, that we too might learn, even as he has taught them, that he will teach us through his precious word. So we put this all into your care and keeping. We thank you from the depths of our hearts, and we pray it all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Dear ones in the Lord, and our dear friends and our dear children who gather with us, we have the writings or the words of our Lord before us, who has given us a parable of separation that really ought to open up our ears to listen to hear what Jesus is saying. He speaks of begins this parable saying the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. It is clear as we read when the disciples asked Jesus to declare what does this parable mean of the tares of the field and so on, that it is clear that Jesus says that he who is the one that sowed is, as he says, the Son of Man. And so Jesus came and he sowed a seed. And it tells us here that, and it's in his field. This is his. The world is his. All creation is his. And it says that while men slept, so we think of this, the field is not the church here. The field is the world. And it says, while men slept, his enemy came. So this is an enemy of Jesus who came to come after him, sneaking. It says, while men slept, he's going to sneak into a field that does not belong to him. And he sowed tares, it says, among the wheat. And obviously, the sole purpose is to cause harm to the wheat. Because of his hatred towards this owner, his hatred towards him, and the wheat that he has planted, he wants to do harm to that crop. And he plants and sows, tares, and he sneaks away. And it simply says then that the blade springs up and it brings forth fruit, and the tares appear also. And as the wheat and the tare grow together, we see that one is bringing forth fruit and one is not. Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence hath it tares? The gospel message went out. It's good seed. Wheat, dear ones, is a gift. It sustains life. It gives life. It's a blessing of life to man. Wheat itself. It's a blessing of life to a man. To all of us. A tare, on the other hand, has no value in it. Man doesn't eat it. Man doesn't use it. There's no good. There's nothing good from a tare. And so we have to ask ourselves, dear ones, as wheat, we are going to say we are wheat. Are we a blessing of life to those who hear our example, our life? Are we a blessing of life, life eternal, to those who come in contact with us through the example of our life, through the word that we speak, the words that we preach and teach and point? Are we a blessing of life as the wheat is? And so, because he says here that there's tares also, and the servants of the householder are recognizing this. And he said, from whence did it come? He says, an enemy had done this. Servants say, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Nay, is the answer, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. And so, when we look at a wheat and a tare, it is not for us, dear ones. It is not for his angels to do anything with. He says, let them grow. Because there is no way, according to what we have read here, there is nothing that a tare can do to create damage to this wheat. Wheat cannot blame a tare that it doesn't have fruit. The only reason a wheat will not have fruit here is because it's not wheat. It is a tare. It is that which Satan does. And we can see exactly what he did in this parable here that Jesus spoke. Satan, he says, the devil did this. The enemy has sowed them is the devil. And so the devil, his goal is always imitation, something that imitates, but it doesn't produce fruit. It can't. It cannot, because an imitation is not real. And so as we read this, we have to understand, dear ones, that God is not impressed by a name that I might give myself, that I am a wheat or that I am a Christian. God doesn't get impressed by me proclaiming that I'm a Christian and unashamedly telling someone that I am a Christian. You can call yourself whatever you want. The question is the example of my life, the doctrine that I speak, the word that I speak, when I point a man to Christ, do I point him to Christ or do I point him to an imitation? And so, dear ones, it's, again, turns, as Jesus has spoken often, it's a matter of the heart. It's who we really are inside that matters. Jesus says here that the harvest is the end of the world. We know that there is a harvest that is taking place daily. As a man dies, a harvest has taken place for that soul. It is either gathered, as it says here, gathered and gathered and burned in the fire, or it is gathered as the wheat into the barn. The harvest, dear ones, is something that each of us will experience. And when it's time for the harvest, there's no more time to produce wheat, to produce fruit. When the harvest comes, it clearly says that the harvest is the end of the world, but the end of the world for me would be if I close my eyes to this life. That's the end. And so harvest has taken place. It says that the reapers are the angels. They are sent to do a task. Gather the tares and burn them. Burn them in the fire. He said they're going to be cast into a furnace of fire. There shall be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. We don't want to be... There's nothing that I could say or you could say, or I don't care how eloquent any man is, that can describe what this word here means. A furnace of fire where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. Nothing any one of us can describe that would scare someone enough to what this really means. And yet, reading it, knowing it is something that is indescribable, just like heaven, joy with Christ is indescribable, cannot be described. This cannot either be described. And yet, As Jesus puts into words, and Paul, who has seen the heaven, he says, in the body, out of the body, I don't know. But it was a very real thing that he saw. And he can't explain in words what it means. Yet, why is one not attractive enough? Something that cannot even be put into words, how attractive it is. Yet it doesn't attract us enough to want to die as the wheat does. Dies in the ground, springs upwards, life is pointing up. It's up. And yet, hell is so terrible that it cannot even be described. And yet, we don't fear it enough to cause us to look and say, what is that which will take me here? I think a good example of a tear in the New Testament would be that of Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira were planted by the evil one, fake, imitation Christians that were exposed by the apostles. And death came speedily. And we can read in Ecclesiastes that men continue in their evil way because the judgment for that doesn't come right now. And so comfort is given. A sense of security is given. And man continues on. Simon also is one who Philip couldn't see through. And he baptized him. But Peter saw right through him when he said, you're in a gall of bitterness. An imitation Christian. He wanted the power. That's all he was after. The power. That when I lay my hands on someone, they would receive the Holy Spirit. It was about me. Everyone is attracted to power of some kind. If only I had this, I could do this. And we might even think wonderful thoughts. Oh, if I was a millionaire, I would do this for someone. I would do this. I would do this. And we get this huge fantasy, and it's all about what I would do. Everyone is attracted to power unless they die. Downward as the corn does and grows upward. It says the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Dear ones, when we are gathered, it says here, there's a barn to be gathered into. Jesus describes it as mansions that he goes to prepare for those that are his. In the next chapter, or the 15th chapter, Jesus also says, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And so, dear ones, we have to ask ourselves as we examine our life, am I a tear or am I a wheat? What is the fruit? What is the fruit that I am bearing? Am I going to rattle off a chain of events of things that I've done? All I've done is expose my pride. That's all I've done is expose my pride to myself, but I won't see it. Because Jesus doesn't shine enough for me to attract me to him. And so I become an imitation Christian. I want the comforts of the name of being a Christian. It gives me a comfort. It gives me a hope, though I don't even dwell on it. I read something this week that startled me. And it was an advertisement of some kind. It said, sin, repent, repeat. Sin, repent, repeat. And I just thought, is that a Christianity today? Christianity does not mean anything. Being called a Christian means nothing. Being a member of a church doesn't mean anything. But having membership with Jesus Christ is everything. Where I will not sin, repent, and repeat. You can't repeat. But dear ones, we through the deceitfulness of the one who hates us, who's coming in, who came into this world and spread his imitation gospel. It's attractive because there's a lot in there in his gospel. There's a lot for me. There's a lot for me. It's imitation. It's fake. It's not real. It won't stand. The reapers recognize it. The reapers don't need to look and try to figure out, well, this looks like it. They know instantly what a tare is and what is not. And brothers and sisters, in light of the word of God, we know too. But are we deceived? Are we deceived by the enemy who hates? The miracle of God, the miracle of the gospel, the miracle of salvation is that, yes, a tare can change into a wheat. That is the mystery that no one can explain. That no one can explain. That God can take me, a wretched man that I am, and create in me a new man. That will shine forth. Shine. Righteous shall shine. I repeat it. Shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Is there room for sin? Repent, repeat. Is there a no concern? Am I a wheat or am I a tare? Am I an imitation? Is the word of God to me more precious than life itself? Jesus says, you save your life, you're going to lose it. If the word of God is precious to me more than life, I will lose my life, but I will find it. Is that his word to me? Because that's who Jesus has to be to me. Don't look for, let's not look for opportunities to sin, to stray, to walk away, and rely upon, I will repent. Jesus is so full of mercy and grace, he will forgive. Because then, you know what? We've never repented. If we repeat, we didn't repent, which means we have no fruit, which means we're not wheat, which means we're a tare, which means we'll be gathered and burned. And we heard and we knew and we didn't care. And then it's too late. Am I on that solid rock? Jesus says, let them alone. Talking about the imitation ones, the ones who thought they were it. He says, leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. But I heard that it was okay for this. When the blind lead the blind, both fall into the ditch. We have the Word before us, the entire, complete Word of God. And if that doesn't delight us, then, dear ones, the enemy will see to it that he will find something for us to delight into. And it is an enemy that will give this to us. An enemy that has no good for us, no good intentions for us. It's only harm, evil, destruction, burning, joining him. I know I've said it many times, and it just came to me again. Jesus says, I came to give life. Give life. And you would not. You don't want it. So come the end of the world, at the end of the age, when it's over, when not just individuals, but when the end of the age has come upon us, and it's time for the angels to do as they are commanded, as that time comes, dear ones, why do we view that as a time that is so far away? Oftentimes, we can't even begin to believe that it can end. We see a little bit of upheaval, little bit, that's going on in the country today and throughout the world. It's a little bit. There's not much even going on. But it's disrupted so many lives and has created havoc. And it's just a little bit of upheaval compared to what will come. And who's to say that it won't continue? It won't continue and keep going, and the end will come, and the reapers will come, and we're going to be gathered together. Are we going to the barn, or are we going to the fire? The Son of Man shall send forth his angels. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Brothers and sisters, we have to really consider this. Do we offend? Do we care? Do we care if we offend? If we offend, he says he will send forth, gather them out of his kingdom, those that offend, and then which do iniquity, and cast them into a furnace of fire. If you offend, Jesus says, if you offend one of these my little ones. So in other words, if by my actions, by my carelessness, by my not caring, carelessness, I cause one of God's children to stumble, because I was a bad example where I might have been looked on as, oh, well, if he behaves in that way and he's been in the faith for 20, 50 years, it must be okay. I am an offense. I am one who offends, causes one of his to stumble. If I do iniquity, what is iniquity? The total opposite of that which is holy, that which is righteous. You know, that can be in things that we don't won't even consider. It could be in such things that anything that brings, that wants, when I want to bring some attention to myself, when I do something, wear something, purchase something, that I'm going to cause you to look at me and you're going to think highly of me because of what I did, because of what I possess. That's iniquity. Because the focus is not Jesus Christ. And so then, if the focus is not Jesus Christ, if the focus is me, how can I say that I have fruit? So when we talk about Dear ones, when Jesus speaks about modesty and about living a life that is, he's not talking about strictly dress. He's talking about a lifestyle. A lifestyle that thinks about others. So that you, my dear sister, or you, my dear brother, are not offended at my lifestyle. So I don't cause you to sin, to desire those things which I will flaunt in front of you. All things that offend, all things that are iniquity, all. We can just look at Jesus Christ. We can look at the life of the apostles. We look at their lives. And brothers and sisters, it will be very clear to us if we are doing iniquity, if we are offending. It'll be very clear to us. Because Jesus gave those lives of the apostles as examples for us too. Not something that is unattainable. Paul always said, this is attainable. Brothers and sisters, he says, this is attainable. This isn't me. This is just the power of God working in me. The power of God is not, his hand has not been shortened for you or me. The same power is there. It's my unwillingness to take that hand. It's my unwillingness to live for him. It's my iniquity. It's my contentment with being a tare, appearing as if I'm wheat, and not concerned about the harvest. Why? Why? Because I'm deceived. And the deceiver, it tells us, is a liar. And so, dear ones, there's clear separation taking place here. And the separation is between wheat and tares. The tares are imitation, and it's seen at time of harvest. At the time of harvest, there is no fruit. But it looked like wheat. It looked like wheat. Jesus says, let them grow together. And he will send the reapers at the time of harvest. And so, dear ones, as we look into our own life, there's going to be a separation. There's going to be a separation. It's not, and I think we all know that. We all know that we are here for a time. A few more years, a few more days, whatever the Lord gives. And then there's a separation. And then that separation, are we going into the barns where the righteous will shine as the sun? Or are we going to a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, wailing? Between them, we read there's a great, great gulf fixed. A great gulf fixed, which cannot be crossed. Once the separation takes place, it's final. The harvest has come. And so, dear ones, as we look into our own heart and our life, may we pray to our Lord that he would reveal to us through his word, not through my fantasy life, not through what I'm called, not through what church I belong to, but am I a member of the body of Jesus Christ? It tells us that he will gather them from all. This is his field. The field is the world. Jesus says it's the world. So in other words, He will gather from all over. It says he has those that are the elect in every nation, every kindred. He will gather them together. You don't know them. I don't know them, but he knows them. And does he know us as his wheat that he will gather together into his barn? May we, with open hearts, prayerful hearts, look into our heart in light of the Word of God, and that we would see clearly where we stand before him. Amen.
Parable which you read tonight talks about this great separation. There's going to be separate the wheat from the tares. And it's only Christ himself that will be able to do that with his holy angels. But he also talked about another separation, as he mentions in this same book, Matthew, in chapter 25. He says, "And the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his angels with him. Then shall he sit upon a throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left." And this is the parable then, and this is what he talked about, where they were hungry, and you fed me, I was thirsty, you gave me drink. And those that were righteous, they went as the sheep. The ones that were on the left were the ones that said, "They never saw you like this. When did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty?" And so they neglected to do their duty as a child of God. So we have a responsibility in our own lives. And we're going to have faced that. One day we're going to face that great separation. The righteous from the unrighteous. And then he says, "And these shall go away in everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." So the choice is ours. We can choose to follow the Lord. We can choose to trust him. We can choose to become one of his children, or we can stay as we are and live a life that is not necessarily pleasing to him. But just remember, should that get into your life come, you'll not have another chance to make that decision to follow him. It'll be over. So it's a serious thing for us to understand. I believe the Lord wanted us to realize that there is going to be a great separation, and we can truly say that we have been warned tonight. May God bless these words upon our heart. Amen.
Amen.